This afternoon we're going to think about Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through to 20. Let us read these verses through. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfil. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For verily I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is teaching us about his kingdom, about his church. And again, I stress that he is not talking about a particular denomination or group of Christians. He is referring to all of God's people throughout the world who truly belong to him. What is the character of the church? What is the character of the Christian? These are the things that Christ answers in the Sermon on the Mount. These are the issues that he deals with. And these are most important questions. If you are to know that you're a Christian, then you need to ensure that the teaching of Christ is reflected in your life. Whenever we come to this part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is teaching us about the law. There are those who would say that the law of God is not relevant in this New Testament age. What an utter load of nonsense. The Lord here shows us that the law is very important, and as Christians, we should be serious about keeping the law. But here the Lord lifts the standard of the law to a higher level than even the Old Testament. The scribes and the Pharisees, they prided themselves that they were the custodians of the law, that the law was exemplified in their lives. And the Lord was saying, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about a greater righteousness, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. Let's first of all think about the substance of this greater righteousness. The substance of this greater righteousness is found in Jesus Christ alone. He is this greater righteousness. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, he said. I am come to fulfill the law. Therefore, we discover this greater righteousness through the life, through the person, through the character, through the teaching of Jesus Christ. The law is centered on Christ. He is centered on the law. We find the law in Christ. We find this perfect righteousness in Christ. We do not find it in men. We do not find it in philosophy. We do not find it within our own characters. We find this greater righteousness in Jesus Christ. This is why faith in Christ is so important, because we can only be accepted by God on the basis of Christ. We are so unrighteous. We are so unlovely. We are so unholy. We are so impure. But Christ is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. You see, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 24 we read, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What does this mean? The law was our teacher who directs us to Christ. The law directs us to Christ because the law shows us that we can't keep the law. That is the history of the world. That is the nature of humanity. We break God's law. We break it all the time. And our failure to keep God's law, our sheer imperfection, our absolute depravity, our wretchedness shows us that we need Christ. We need the perfect man. And Christ is the perfect man, because he fulfilled the law for us. That's why he lived a perfect life in human flesh, that he, as a man, might do what every other man had failed to do. And he did it for mankind. He worked out this perfect righteousness for us. And not only that, but as the perfect man, he died the perfect death, and he offered himself as the substitute for us. He took our guilt upon himself. He was that pure Lamb of God who took our place. He died for us, that we might have his righteousness. We're dealing here with a very great transaction. Christ took our righteousness that we might have his righteousness. But he also took our unrighteousness that we might have his righteousness. And today the righteousness of Christ can be given to us. We can be justified. We can be made innocent at the bar of God's justice only through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. How wonderful, how marvelous this greater righteousness is. The substance is found in Jesus Christ. But let's also talk about the sincerity towards this greater righteousness. There is a sincerity here that we need to emphasize. When a person knows Christ as his or her Savior, that person will endeavor with all of their heart and with all of their soul to keep the law of God. A person who says, I belong to Christ, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and thieves and steals and is dishonest and uses bad language and lives whatever way they care to live without thought for God, without conscience, that person is not a Christian. The true Christian is one who endeavours with all of his heart to keep God's law. This was the problem with the Pharisees. They prided themselves in their legalism. They kept the law. But they were filled with their own pride. They were saying to others, look at me, look what I'm doing, look at my good life. You should live as I live. But the problem was they were filled with pride. And because of that pride, they were wretched in their hearts. They were not inwardly what they claimed to be outwardly. And actually, in their own private lives, many of them had shortcomings, and therefore the Lord exposed their hypocrisy, and he actually called them hypocrites. He said they were like whited sepulchres. Without, he said, you're lovely and you're white, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. You see, what the Lord is teaching about this greater righteousness here is this. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. The importance of keeping all of God's law and keeping it in the heart, in the mind, in the thoughts, as well as the outward life. The Lord would go on and stress this even more. But the true Christian is absolutely sincere. He looks after his heart. He looks after his soul. He looks after his own spirit. He cares for his own mind. He nurtures it. He endeavours to live for God in this world because he who has Christ wants to be conformed to Christ. But let's also think about the superiority in the greater righteousness. For Christ said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said only this greater righteousness can give you a right to the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees' version, taking off a list, keeping the law outwardly, claiming they were good and right, was not enough. He said, you need the greater righteousness. You need the righteousness that I have come to fulfill. You need to be changed in your heart. Except you have this greater righteousness, he said. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, this poses certain questions. Is your Christianity about going to church on Sunday? Is your Christianity about standing up to sing hymns? Is your Christianity about having a label? About the church you go to? About the denomination you belong to? Is that the sum of your Christianity? How you see yourself different from others in relation to a label, in relation to an outward life? Or is your Christianity a true religion of the heart? Not just a religion of Sunday, but a seven-day religion. Not just a religion for the home, but a religion for the workplace. Not just a religion for the workplace, but a religion for the home as well. A religion that covers every part of your life, that encompasses all of your life, because it is a religion of the heart. And except your life has been changed, you do not have this greater righteousness. And except you know Christ, you do not have this greater righteousness. So are you prepared for heaven? Can you stand before God and can you say, yes, I have this greater righteousness that has been given to me through faith in Christ alone? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves solemnly before God today. And if you see yourself as unrighteous, if you see yourself as unfit for heaven, then you need to look to the one who alone can make you fit. And that is Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God. I thank you so much for listening.